Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Pro Wrestling Show in association with Talk Sport. And coming up on today's show, our exclusive in-studio chat with WWE superstar Drew McIntyre. You'll also hear Al Mac going out and speaking with Cesaro. And the podcast, the bulk of it, comes from All Bar One at the O2 immediately after the SmackDown tapings, an annual tradition as it now is, and, well, it was messy as last year. This is the Pro Wrestling Show. Hello and welcome to the Pro Wrestling Show in association with TalkSport. Well, Gavin, I've got a smashed Al Mac alongside me.
Don't tell lies and hubris, okay? I'm in a good mental state.
Is that the correct
state.
Use of the word hubris?
No, I don't think it is at all.
It's lies and fabricated stuff, okay?
And John Jackson's with us as well. We are currently sat inside the O2 Arena just off the back of the SmackDown live tapings. We didn't sit with Al and the guys tonight.
We had eyes on him, though.
We could see them having a good time. And now we're hanging out with them. How are you feeling, buddy?
I'm feeling so fresh right now. I'd like to blame Alison from 2K for a lot of the destruction tonight. And I'm with my good friend Ian. Hello, Ian.
Hello, how are we doing?
Hi.
Yes. Yes.
Wonderful.
Just to let everyone know. But there you go. There was accomplices. Okay?
Two people you don't know who you can't see right now.
Yeah,
wonderful.
Cena.
We've snuck out. Yeah, exactly. We snuck out during 205 Live. Apologies to all those
apologies to Toby Tarrant, yeah, who Will rubbed himself up against very closely.
I feel apologies to El Ligero, because I do feel for him.
He's just called Ligero here.
Even more so. But I do feel for him, because I'm glad that he did get his shout tonight, but we haven't seen it.
Right, coming up on the show today, we're going to have our big long interview with Drew McIntyre. He came into the studio after I'd had zero sleep and Al was fangirling all over the place. It was wonderful.
I don't know if that's what happened.
I mean, you need to talk into the microphone, ideally, Alex, but
I don't know if that's what happened.
I thought you were pleased that he came in.
Yeah, I was pleased he came in from the Ali McCoy's perspective, but I'm glad that I thought you performed marvellously well. I don't want to praise you now that you just slammed me under the bus, but you performed very well.
We both did a wonderful job.
I wasn't there, mate.
Well, you were there. Let's tell the story right. What happened, John?
I just wasn't there.
No, you were.
I saw him.
You saw Drew.
All right, after you guys had done the interview, I saw him, felt like I'd been part of it because you'd sent me loads of photos. So after Ali McCoy said goodbye to him, I also said goodbye to him. And he looked at me as if to go, sorry, who are you?
and then
he followed you both on Twitter, but not me.
He followed both me and Will. And John goes, well, Baron Corbin follows me. So that was that.
And Glenn from Progress.
Okay, don't
well done,
that.
Buddy. I'm really proud of you. Should we hear from Drew McIntyre first? Because
yes,
I think people
please.
Need to hear something sensible and vaguely professional, and then we'll talk about Raw and SmackDown and what a wonderful couple of nights we've had.
We will ramble. Yes.
Can we get Al to introduce Drew McIntyre, like whatever his name is, Greg Hamilton? Just because I think it could
He's
be quite
perfect.
Drew McIntyre. I think that's great.
What a sausage. Jesus.
My childhood hero over there, so this is pretty cool.
Yeah, well, we had tried to get in there, but they're just, we've been told, too busy. Come back in 10, 15 minutes. Unbelievable.
I hurt my one feeling. The last feeling, last feeling I have left. Yeah.
How has it been back in the UK?
Oh, it's been great. I'm trying to think how long we've been back for. It's just been such a whirlwind. It's a good thing about the UK tours and the bad thing at the same time. It's so cool. To be back home in Europe, especially the UK, but we're just non-stop. And what keeps me going is just the adrenaline of the crowds being so wild and passionate, knowledgeable and excited, and the fact that I get to do things like this. I'm just, I lie there in bed like last night, just excited to get up and do it. And you know, our boss Vince McMahon, I think, legit sleeps about 30 minutes a night, so I'm practicing right now. See if I can be like him, so I've got no excuse.
It does feel like it kind of lined up for you perfectly, and I'm not saying this because you lost your job, but when you kind of left the WWE in 2014 and came back and were doing work out here, it's been at the same time that we've seen this huge spike in interest in wrestling in this country, lots more promotions popping up, promotions like ICW, which you were with Progress, having this big boon of recent times. So how does it compare coming back now, say, versus 7-8 years ago?
To the UK?
Yeah.
Oh, the difference is incredible. For WWE, now the crowds have always been fantastic. But when it comes to the scene around the UK, there's no comparison, because when I started, my God, about 18 years ago now, when I was 15, there was no UK scene. The modern scene had died, like from the Big Daddy era. There was literally no companies left. I had to travel from Air Scotland 12 hours to Portsmouth, England, on a train when I was 15 just to learn to wrestle. And a few buddies and I started the modern Scottish wrestling scene. A few companies started in England. I came to America. There was really nothing going on. And when I came back from America in 2014, just to see the difference and to see the level of talent and how much it improved, how many different characters there were, it was really cool. And to be part of that kind of boom period, like you say, ICW, for example, we had 1,500 at the show I returned. Our next big show was 2,000 people. The next big show, myself and Grado, was 4,000 people. And the last show I did before I came back to WWE was almost 7,000 people. And to watch it just grow like that, and to feel like you really could make a difference to the scene rather than just the name WWE is what kind of sells it. Like, an individual can really make a difference in the UK, and inevitably the next stage was WWE got involved with NXT UK to take it to that next level. So it's just insane to see when we literally had nothing back in the day.
I kind of wanted to touch on NXT UK, actually, staying domestically. I know last time we saw each other, I think last August, we were talking about NXT UK quite extensively. From then to now, I know you're obviously an extremely busy man, but how much of the product have you seen? Have you been pleased with how it's got off the ground? I think obviously we was at the takeover, it was phenomenal in Blackpool. Obviously we're hoping there's more of those, but do you think that that's been the kind of perfect launch pad thus far?
Yeah, like, so far so great. It's awesome to see so many people that I know personally and that I've been around outside the company get so many opportunities to make a name for themselves. And the great thing about it, aside the fact NXT UK is on fire, you can now take all those superstars and put their faces on posters all across the UK and Europe, and people will recognize them from WWE, a trusted product, and NXT UK, and you know that's going to be a good show to come along to. Like, it's really cleaned up the scene, because there used to be a lot of companies that I wasn't necessarily proud of when I first came back to the UK scene, and that was one of my goals, was to stamp out the crap. Like, people that couldn't get like work for certain companies because they weren't good enough or weren't trained enough, so they would start a company and they'd book their terrible friends that weren't good enough. And now, because of, you know, all the work from everyone in the UK, because of the work of NXT UK, we have a thriving scene that has really stamped out the crap, and that was my goal.
Yeah, and I think as well, when you look at wrestling Twitter and whatnot, and it's kind of every week appraising the programs. When I look at NXT UK, I mean, with the other week, what do we have? Walter and Devlin, I think, and then we have Mustache Mountain. You're getting quality matches every single week, and I don't think enough is getting kind of said about the match quality that you're getting in NXT UK right now, because it's probably obviously in the infancy compared to the other brands, but in terms of quality, you know, I think people are realizing quick, it's right there. The UK scene is right there.
Oh yeah, and it has been for years. And that's the great thing, that everyone's getting in their eyes on it now. I just couldn't believe the level of everybody in the ring when I first came back to the UK scene. It's not just the in-ring, it's all the different characters also. We were all the same. Like, before I went to America, we were all just trying to figure it out and help each other, and we were just all kind of exactly the same. Myself and Sheamus were the big feud in Europe.
Yeah.
And we were just trying to help each other get better. We'd record our matches, we'd watch them back, and we were just like no better than each other. Very similar characters. Everyone was very similar around the time, and just to see that level of talent, to see the different characters, to see how many different countries are involved now, and just the hard-hitting British style really been modernized, is so cool.
It's funny as well, obviously Finn Balor returned at that takeover. Is that something that you think about, one day you'd really like to be able to I don't call it pay it back, but you know what I'm saying. Go back there and have some matches with people that you know, mean a lot to you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't just think about it. I harass Triple H. So, as soon as he lets me, we figure it into the schedule. I'll be there, so I'm going to call him out on this. Let me go to NXT UK just for a day, a few hours. Said, I never sleep. I do this all the time. I might as well fly in, do a show, and fly back.
We'll drop. We'll get Trips on the DM. It'll be fine.
He would. Drew would fly and do it.
I genuinely would.
I mentioned Sheamus there, actually, and it's something that we hadn't. I hadn't really thought about touching on, but there's been a lot of talk about his in-ring career at the moment. No confirmation, but been suffering through injuries and questions over whether or not he will even return to the ring. If he does, will it be in a limited capacity? He's obviously achieved an incredible amount as somebody from the UK and Ireland. So just talk to us a bit about Sheamus, what he's meant to your career, and you know, even if he does go out now, what an incredible run he has had.
Galloway O'Shaughnessy. That's the feud.
Galloway O'Shaughnessy, yeah. That was it.
That was the feud.
Yep, that was he was the undefeated Irish champion on the one television show we had in Europe, Irish Whip Wrestling. I was the young, evil Scotsman that was about half his size at the time. I was only about 19 at the time, so it made him about 47. And, my faction actually consisted of a French guy and Wade Barrett at the time also. He was my enforcer. But yeah, we go way back, and obviously he carved himself an incredible WWE career thus far. It's crazy, the journey we've been on together, and you know, trying to get better in Europe, being the kind of main feud there. The night I won the Intercontinental title, he won the World Heavyweight title. We were both just sitting in the hotel room afterwards, like just two best mates from back home in Europe, just saying, what on earth is going on here? This is absolutely ridiculous. Like, we've obviously bloody fooled them or something. This is absolutely mental. And then to see him go on to win multiple titles and the Royal Rumbles and Money in the Banks and pretty much everything you could win is just really, really awesome. What he's achieved. He's also the best man at my wedding too. I don't know if a lot of people know that. I give a heck of a speech.
Exclusive.
Yes, wore a kilt for it as well. So did Jinder Mahal.
Did he go?
Oh, yeah,
did he go Irish tartan though? Because I looked into getting an Irish tartan kilt made for my friend's Scottish friend's wedding, and it was going to cost me about £800.
Oh, really?
I went with a suit. I'm not going to lie.
Oh yeah, whatever my wife organised, what everyone wore, she demanded underpants as well. So we did for the ceremony. But once the ceremony was over, we just chucked them in the bushes. I think we were finding them for the next week. And it was at a public area, so I hope no kids come across. But anyway, his career. yeah, like just so proud of everything he's done, and I wouldn't believe everything you read on the internet.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, that's enough to take there. You know, what's funny is you know, talk about careers and things. I was in Manchester last year for Raw when you decimated Kurt Angle, right? Nice. And I'm sitting there in the audience.
It's nice, he's all decimated. I enjoyed that a lot.
I think it's a profound, correct word for what I saw. Wow. You know, I was in the audience, obviously, and I'm thinking, well, you know, Kurt Angle's on his last run, and you know, they're going to make him look strong, Survivor Series and whatnot. And then, you know, obviously, it was such an imposing performance. A word was that Kurt was a big supporter of yourself and kind of almost, I don't want to use the word lobbied, but you get what I'm coming from. What was it like, you know, that, because he is a bona fide legend in the sport, you know, to have that moment and, you know, for him to give you that moment, I guess, how was it?
Insane. Kurt's always been someone who's looked out for me, gave me advice and been a strong supporter of mine. It's not the first time he's done that for me either. Hour in Manchester. It's the second time in Manchester. Yeah, we did it at Impact Wrestling in the past. He was on his farewell tour of Impact, and he selected his last few opponents. It was myself, Bobby Roode, and Bobby Lashley. And I had his last match in Manchester. He did the same thing, made me, just made me. It's as simple as that. And to do it again in WWE, and for him to be willing to not just make me look good, make me look
amazing,
like a monster, indestructible, and beat him with his own ankle lock. You know, I can never thank Kurt Angle enough for everything that he's done for me. And, you know, the more I progress and the more I start doing well, like, I'll look back to moments like that where people were so selfless to get me ahead in this industry. And, you know, Kurt's still there to this day giving me advice and really helping me advance along.
I think it's great because for me that was a real momentum point, and you had several of them at that time, and it all kind of led up to Reigns at Mania. You know, looking at the last, say, 6 months, you know, how do you appraise that rise? And also, I think the Reigns match, how was the feedback for that? Because for him, That's a massive spotlight match and his first one-on-one since overcoming his illness. You know, how was that received backstage? And like I said, how's it been for you getting all these milestone moments from out of the company a few years ago, and now you're on this serious rise?
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy when you think about everything that's happened. It's only been 1 year exactly.
Yeah.
That I've been back on Raw, and so much has happened, as much as everybody has their comments online about, oh, you should do this and you shouldn't do this, or you shouldn't be associated with these guys or do this. That's
entirely us, you realise.
we are those marks.
I knew it. But the way I look at it is we have 52 weeks of TV a year. I'm not in any rush to get anywhere. Like, I'm very much about the slow burn, because generally I've been thrown into the deep end and it's not always worked out, because a lot of the fans who don't know about me and about my history, etc., won't accept it right away, even though I'm a bigger guy and pretty intense or whatever. So I prefer the slow burn, and eventually everyone gets to know the character, and over time, every so often I'll have a significant moment and show who I am, and when the time is right and everybody knows who Drew McIntyre is, that's when I'll really kick it into next gear, like as a straight singles, rather than hanging out with my buddies Corbin and Lashley occasionally. But the Reigns match, you know, that was a big moment for me. It was my first singles match at WrestleMania, for one. It was within the first year I'd been back, and to be trusted by the company and Roman also to have a match with him coming back after such a significant illness on WrestleMania. You know, that was an incredible feeling to have that kind of trust from all of them. And everyone was very happy, you know, how it went. We established that Roman Reigns was back on that night, and just last week we had kind of the opportunity to show a little more of what we could do in the ring.
I want to ask you mentioned there about the slow burn, the slow build. It does feel like since you've come back that we're seeing this much stronger character work from you. What do you think you learned in those 3 years away and then those years in NXT that has affected your work from your first run in WWE to where you are now?
I guess just kind of figuring out who I am exactly. Being away from the company was necessary for me to become a main event performer. I don't think I could have did it within the company. I had to step away, gain perspective, understood the opportunity that I'd kind of thrown away. And also, I just never really found who Drew Galloway, Drew McIntyre was until I was gone from the company and started putting the pieces together and getting the opportunity to be a, you know, top performer and a face of so many different companies and a franchise player for so many different companies. And that's when I truly figured out who I was. And it was really just my own personality. And like Drew McIntyre, Drew Galloway is just this driven individual that wants to better himself, better the companies he works for, and better as everyone around him. And for some reason in 2019, that makes him a bad person. The good guys are now the bad guys, and the bad guys are now the good guys.
You're a bad egg.
It is that cliche that you always hear, and it's not a cliche when it's true, I don't think, but you know, it's always that Stone Cold, The Rock, they say the best guys are the guys who are themselves just dialed up to 11. So do you think you are the real Drew McIntyre at this point?
Yeah, well, we're very close. Yeah, that's for sure. Like, that's a good thing about this run. Also, I'm a lot more comfortable and confident to kind of work with the writers or kind of change certain things to suit me. Like, I'm not changing storylines or anything, but I'm comfortable to kind of change things up that are maybe on the paper, and a lot of people need to remember. You got to figure out how it works for you, and don't blame everybody around you or blame like the paper you're given. You got to figure out how you take the material you're given. And I hear John Cena talk about this a lot, and I guess when I was younger, I may not have understood it either, but now I do. You got to take that, make it your own, and everything and every opportunity I'm given, I know how to make that work for Drew McIntyre now.
But we talk about returning to the company as well. Do we think the gateway of NXT really helped you as well? Because, you know, coming there, and you know, I think you've told me in the past, being able to talk to Triple H and really understand of what you wanted to be coming back. Do you think if you just come back straight to the main roster, it might not have been the same result, that NXT was crucial?
Yeah, I think so. And I don't know if I would have come back if the idea was straight to Raw or SmackDown. My wife and I were trying to decide what was the best option for my future. And obviously when I was gone initially, the goal was get back to WWE. But when I started making a difference in the scene, the goal was, I don't know if I should go back, if I've got a good thing going here. And speaking to Triple H, we were both adamant NXT is the way to go. You know, I'm thinking with my business head, and he's thinking with his business head. As much as I want to say, oh my gosh, yes, I want to just go to Raw and SmackDown, that's what Young Drew would have done.
Yeah.
Business-wise, we've got to go to NXT first, because that audience is a little more educated what's going on outside the company. They know who Drew Galloway, Drew McIntyre is these days, and also the way NXT works is obviously their top stars eventually cross over to Raw and SmackDown. It leaves openings for experienced talent to come in and not just get an opportunity to prove themselves, but also be leaders and help bring the product up. And I really loved that opportunity because it was a bit of a down period, which is how NXT works. It was up and down when the talent moves on to Raw and SmackDown. It was a bit of a down period at the time. And I got the chance to be there with such a strong roster we were rebuilding and watch the numbers go up over time as we were all working so hard. And that was cool to be one of the leaders and the champion at the time.
It does feel like that atmosphere around there, whether it's guys who are kind of like Cassius Ohno, who is so interested in developing the younger guys coming in, or whether it's Shawn Michaels is always the one that blows me away, because when he came over for the UK tournament at Royal Albert Hall, we saw his name on the kind of media sheet and we thought, this is, you know, a gimmick. They want the media to be excited. There's a big name coming from the past, and he spoke with such passion about all of the guys and girls in the locker room, all of the training, that it's clear that he'd really bought into it as well. And it just feels like that's the whole atmosphere around NXT, is that everyone wants to make everyone else better.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It is a team effort from everybody, and Shawn Michaels does not have to be there. There's very few people that reached, I mean, he's the best in-ring talent of all time. There's nobody at his level, but there's very few guys that made it to his level that are like trainers and work in the industry these days, because, well, multiple reasons. They, whatever, made their money, maybe they're finished with the industry, some of them are not with us anymore. There's very few people at that Shawn Michaels level who think on a different level than everyone else. I don't think anyone thinks at the level he thinks on, because when you speak to him, and the time I spent with him in NXT, I learned so much. I'd been around for about 16, 17 years at that point, and I was under a contract where I didn't technically have to be at the Performance Center, but I chose to drive like a 4-hour round trip every other day that Shawn was there, just so I could be in his class and work with him. And I felt like I was getting my PhD in wrestling at the time.
And you then look at the knock-on effect now. You mentioned guys getting their chance. Well, the Money in the Bank match this weekend, we've got what, four former NXT or North American champions in your match this weekend, including you. And you can't imagine in the kind of Florida Championship Wrestling days that would be a big deal. But now it's like these guys have come up and they're already over. They've already got a character established, and the crowd are ready to buy into them from day one almost.
Yeah, and that makes such a difference as well, that the crowd are educated, who everybody is, because, and like you say, FCW or OVW and the likes, you were just kind of cherry-picked and dropped into whatever character and starting from scratch. I remember my first run, I was in FCW as a big, you know, British bruiser, and something I'm probably more comfortable with. And suddenly I was told by John Laurinaitis at the time they were going to have me do a model character and be the runway man. I was like,
Oh yeah,
alright.
And that's when you wish you had that little bit more confidence to be like, right, how do I work with what I've been given on paper?
Yeah, blue steel.
Oh no, I made some big changes. I was 23 at the time and I was 265, and I leaned up to about 225. Got the abs going, looked like a human anatomy chart, really got ready for this model character. Had a meeting with Vince McMahon, we spoke about it, and I wasn't exactly sold on it, but I still told him, I'm going to make a heck of an effort with this character, sir. And then suddenly they told me, actually, you're just going to be what you were before, you're just going to kind of be the butt kicker. And I was like, but I dropped all that weight. I'm so lean and muddly now. Now I got to go back to gain all this weight. It's easy for me to lose the weight, it's hard for me to gain the weight. But I have a character that's established that everybody kind of knows already. And when you come up and you just develop that character, it does make such a difference.
Al made the point about the milestone moments, and it's not your first Money in the Bank match, but another opportunity this weekend to showcase what you can do.
It's worth noting that a lot of fans are kind of predicting a Drew win, aren't they? A lot of people are saying,
I was going to get on to that.
Everyone needs to start predicting these things.
Well, yeah.
I remember everyone predicted me winning the Royal Rumble as well, and if that didn't go too well.
Hoping is probably
Every time I hear all this predicting or see these odds, my buddies in Scotland sending them to me, it's like, hey, look, you're a favourite. Stop sending me and jinxing me all this stuff. Yeah. But it's my third Money in the Bank. Not as great luck in the past. I think I spoke about this the past couple of weeks in interviews. I guess it was not common knowledge. In my first match, I was WrestleMania 26. I was Intercontinental Champion. I remember the worst feeling of my life was getting pushed off a ladder by Matt Hardy, and I was going to crouch myself on the top rope. And if you remember back in the day, Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels used to glide gracefully onto the top rope when they'd land crotch first on it. I stepped off that ladder, violently plummeted on the top rope, and I think invented about 10 different swear words. So that was my first Money in the Bank. My second Money in the Bank.
With the accent, no one would have known anyway. Yeah. It'd be fine.
Oh, yeah. Especially back then. So I've got a bit of an American Scottish accent these days. But that second Money in the Bank match, Kofi did a boom drop off the ladder through the announce table. And the way he landed on my chest, he skidded through my face and kind of knocked me out for a second. And I opened my eyes and was wondering why everybody was in my bedroom. That was my legit initial thought. It was, why is everyone in my bedroom? And then kind of came to, like, oh, wait, I'm in Money in the Bank. So now, many years later, I'm a little more prepared, a little older, a little wiser, a little hairier. I got a game plan. And yeah, I've never had a Universal title shot. There's never been a British champion ever. So I think it's time for me to make my own shot by winning that contract.
Well, that was where we were going. First British champion. When we've had those conversations with the likes of Triple H, two names regularly that come up, Pete Dunne and yourself, who are in that frame to, you know, you have positioned yourself as someone they would consider to get that opportunity. I mean, that's just mind-blowing to just even be put into that frame, I guess.
Yeah, it's just crazy to even hear that. But, you know, that's Drew Galloway. Like, freaks out about that. Drew McIntyre's got to keep like that clear head and say, you're damn right.
Yeah, of course.
Who else would there be? So Regal didn't do it. Bulldog didn't do it. It shocks people when they hear that. Like, I mean, a couple of people backstage, I think it was even Sami Zayn, who's a bit of a wrestling historian, didn't know there'd never been a British champion. So I think it's when I actually start talking about it on TV, it's going to be kind of shocking to some people and obviously historical.
Never higher than the IC.
Well, it's, you know, talking about on TV at the moment, obviously we've got the wild card rule in effect. Obviously, you know, Raw tonight, but there's SmackDown tomorrow too. So close after the shake-up, like, what are the talent's kind of honest feelings on that? You know, what was the point of the shake-up, really? Or is it kind of just a reaction? What do you think is really the wild card rule purpose, I guess?
I don't know if I've really been around any particular conversations one way or another about it. Like, my first thoughts were, as I said on the show last week, when it was three SmackDown guys in the ring, it isn't SmackDown Presents Raw. So it's an opportunity, I think, for my character to start beating everybody up that shows up on my show.
Just makes things more exciting, I guess, like in terms of we can get crossovers that you wouldn't expect.
Yeah, that's the thing. When you're watching the show, you want to be surprised. Everyone's a critic now. I think people are going to complain no matter what happens. Yeah. But if I, like, well, like, I'm still a fan, but especially when I was watching as a fan, I'd be pretty excited if someone I wasn't expecting showed up.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's kind of the I was like a kid in the Attitude Era, where it was just like you never knew someone's music hit and you were like, wow.
Yeah, didn't see that
one of the best moments, aren't they, really, where you think, oh, who's coming here?
I tried to explain to my wife that the entrances are almost as exciting as the in-ring action, but she wasn't having it at all. How exciting is it to have go-home shows in the UK? Because that's something different.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't remember the last time this has happened.
I was gonna say, is it the first time?
Yeah, so I've certainly never
checking
been part
of it. PR in the corner?
Yeah.
First Tom? He doesn't know.
Yeah,
I've never been part of it, that's for sure. I ain't a go-home show in the UK, so it's pretty cool. We got this wild, crazy crowd that everyone's going to get to see and then hopefully get excited and tune into Money in the Bank.
Exciting stuff. Is there anything more that you wanted to ask Drew about, buddy? Because I'm aware that we've got to get him in with the breakfast show and with Ali and Alan.
Oh, yes.
There's lots they're going to ask you about that we wouldn't ask you about, and vice versa. So.
Well, I mean, we could, but we don't want to take it from Ali.
Yeah, like, well, exactly. You know,
I'm a bit nervous now.
No, just my sincere thanks for coming and talking to us today. Obviously, looking forward to at the O2 later tonight. It's going to be an exciting next month or so, isn't it? And, especially for yourself, but the WWE, full stop. Every time we talk at this time of year, the travel is like ridiculous. So from here, it's June, isn't it, that you then go Saudi Arabia and you're all over the place?
Yeah, and then Singapore and Japan. I was looking at it last night as we were driving. So, yeah, we're all over the place right now. So every, like, 4 to 6 months, we get a little crazy for a period and then we're back to just domestic 4 days a week.
I think the only other thing I was going to ask about was, you talked about how positive NXT UK is and just seeing the boom on the scene here. Is there anyone that you think people right now aren't aware of that should be aware of or should be getting a push or an opportunity that you've either worked with or would want to work with from the UK scene that's blown your mind recently?
I don't like singling people out, but I think people kind of know, obviously, the Peets and Tyler Bates and the Mustache Mountains and Walter now. So I guess like Gallus, the faction of Wolfgang and the Coffees, so the guys I go way back with, I'd feel bad if I didn't give them a shout out, because I don't think they've not quite had the opportunity to show what they can do. And Wolfgang, somebody I think I took his first wrestling lesson when he was probably about 15, 16 years ago or something. So it'll be cool if he gets that opportunity in a bigger stage also.
And I thought Joe smashed it at TakeOver against Pete, by
the
way.
Yeah, he done a great job.
He did a great job there.
And there's certain parts of it that some people were going to criticise, but to me, it just made it look more real and gritty. Mm. I enjoyed it.
I think that's something that they deliver. You saw Walter and Pete on the NXT show out in New York, and it was something so different to the style that was being delivered elsewhere on the show, and it did have that bit more, you know, you say, real, bit more gritty, bit more British. And I think, like, I was really, really happy with how the American crowd reacted to that, because I felt a little bit like I was at a British indie show just with 15,000 other people there, which was very exciting.
Yeah, it's awesome to see that. And just over the past few years, so many incidents of it, especially the first one, I think, was probably Pete and Tyler having the match in Chicago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think I'd had a match prior to the takeover, and I was just watching and just like, wow, this is pretty cool. They're chanting British wrestling.
So now I'm fantasy booking in my head all the people you can come over and face in NXT UK. There's a list. Like I said, we'll get on to Triple H and we'll send it over to him.
I thought you had an actual list over there. So I'm looking across. Like, you've got an actual list?
Not an actual list. But trust me, it's forming in my head and it will be written down at some point today.
I'll just take anyone. You're that Triple H. Anybody. I just need a microphone. Let me talk about the history and where we've come. I just want to be part of it.
Drew, thank you so much for coming in, and enjoy your time with Ali.
Awesome. Thank you for having me, guys. Always good to catch up.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Here's the perfect 10.
He's hella Scottish.
Hella Scottish.
When Fergal Balor came out, we noticed that he had a great tan, so me and Will were shouting, "He has the perfect tan!" And we thought we were funny.
Yeah.
And,
I would have popped.
No one around us thought.
I would have popped. I wish I heard it.
So that was Drew McIntyre speaking with us in studio. Yep. It was a lovely time had by all, and some interesting stuff in there. Like, you can imagine him back in NXT UK or in NXT UK.
It will
in
happen.
The next 6 months.
It will
or so.
Definitely happen.
Who's your face?
Walter would be the obvious one, right? Like,
oh,
I mean,
I want that.
That kind of sells itself.
Inject that into my veins.
Just
right
hard
now.
Hitting. Like, oh man, I'd love to see that. But
just two big old hoss men slapping the crap out of each
other.
Oh,
exactly. I mean, you'd all pay to
Ali's
see that.
Ali's on a little dance. She's so excited by the idea of Walter versus Drew.
She's
all in, right?
Careful. Does this now count as our first live podcast?
Yeah.
We've got an audience of two.
I mean, yeah. These are just two marks that just joined in. And like, you know?
never met them before in our lives.
These two marks.
So, Drew McIntyre. Should we talk about the last couple of nights? So we had Raw last night.
I thought the best Raw we've seen probably since Raw after Mania.
Yeah, I think me and you said the same thing. Like, it's been the best Raw in the last few weeks for sure. And we all of us universally said this. Cesaro Mysterio, as good a TV match as you're going to get. Yeah. You know, the main event was fun. You know, a nice twist because not a lot of people would have pegged Zayn. Okay, let's say before Raw starts, people aren't going, well, Zayn's going to get into the match, so that's a nice twist. You know, what's going on with Braun is up for debate, but...
I'm happy with him being taken out of the Money in the Bank match.
Yeah, well, this is what I'm saying.
He's so... When they present him as such a monster and it takes three guys to beat him, then how does he not win Money in the Bank for a second year in a row? So it makes so much sense. And when you saw the four-way we got on SmackDown tonight, there's Zayn in there and the other three from Raw. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's... I'm genuinely excited for Sunday in a way that I haven't been about WWE... product pretty much since Mania.
And do we credit that to the wild card or not?
you are obsessed with the wild card. I have heard you asking Cesaro about the wild card.
Drew,
you asked Big Bad Drew about the wild card.
Drew was pissed off with my wild card question. I love Drew, but Drew was like, do you not like surprises? Which is not Scottish. But at the same time, it was like, I mean, I was like, that's a valid question, Drew. And he was like, well, you know, and it's true, because in the Attitude Era, that was kind of what it was. Like, music would hit... And people got surprises. And I feel like Drew was alluding to that. But at the same time, that's not what this is.
I thought this was the best representation of what they want the wild card to be.
Tonight?
In the last two nights, yeah. I think they've managed to finally...
Is John here?
...figure it out and nail it.
Is John here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, hey, bud.
No, it's fine. I'm letting you guys go. I've got a San Pellegrino on the go. All is well.
John's annoyed because he's not eaten.
I was a big fan of Bray Wyatt last night.
Yeah.
I think that's the most over thing in WWE right now. I wonder. So last night we got the first time with the vignette where it did the turn and what he looks like, essentially like
Beetlejuice trousers.
Yeah, the Beetlejuice trousers, the kind of scary clown mask thing going on, which I popped for. I really liked it. But I am, as always seems to be the way with anything like this, scared how it then translates into the ring with WWE. What I'd love to happen is the same thing I'd love to happen when Bray Wyatt was at his best, which is the next 6 months he's booked as an absolute monster and beats everyone, gets a title. Great, we've got another top heel in the company.
I'd buy that too.
It's not going to happen though, is it?
No.
Oh, come on, John, let's have some positivity.
No, John is right, it won't. But I'd love it to. You know, you think of all this groundwork they're putting. I'd like to think at this point, WWE are actually surprised at how well it's gone over. Because it is quite a unique concept by comparison of what's happened in recent years. And I don't think they didn't expect it to take as well as it has. When you look at the first week to now, I mean, Matt, isn't it like the main thing that fans are actually really talking about right now? It probably is.
The question is where is he going to pop up for the first time? Is it going to be Money in the Bank? This crowd is like the crowd for 205 Live.
It is. We are more over than Tony Nese right now.
Tony Nese, by the way, looks like a guy I used to go to school with who was a massive stoner. So
and he had a great 8-pack.
Yeah.
Does he come out at Money in the Bank this weekend? Do you think?
I'm not gonna lie.
Bray Wyatt or my mate from school? No, Bray Wyatt. I don't. But who?
Or Tony Nese. Who doesn't want the Tony Nese heel turn right now?
Who?
That's what we're all buying.
Who is he going to get involved with, though? That's the question. Is it going to be Brett? Is it going to be Finn Balor?
The one that makes the most sense to me. But the problem is, you don't want to.
Oh.
No, not Tony Nese.
Hey, we've moved on.
I was like, hang on.
Stick your rum and coke, and we'll have a chat.
Hang on,
I was like, hang on.
I was still Tony Nese-ing it. I was like, well, hang on. I mean, there is kind of a feud there.
Right.
How many abs have you got?
I'm going to put it out there now. At SummerSlam, we're going to get the Demon versus whatever Bray Wyatt's going to be called. Beetlejuice Sheep Freak.
We nearly had that, and nobody wanted it, which is funny. Like, not in that incarnation, but it was meant to be Balor Wyatt, and then we got Balor Styles.
AJ
right?
Styles, one of the best matches of the last couple of years.
But I'm not wrong in thinking that a lot of people were like, oh my God, Sister Abigail, what the hell is this going to be? I'm not going to tie that with this brush because I do think this is fresh and cool at the moment. WWE have a habit of not keeping cool.
No.
So, you know, again, I don't know how that's going to shake out, but I hope you're right. I really hope that Bray is pegged as something serious, because although at the moment a lot of fans are buying into it, what Will said is perfectly right. How does that translate?
Mark that down.
Yeah, that was a rare compliment there.
I mean,
felt good in my soul.
I mean, I'm really happy that one of the positives that came from Raw is the fact that Cesaro looked great against Rey Mysterio. And
is that
we've
his
all
role
been
now,
saying
though?
That we want Cesaro to have a singles run.
But is that his role now?
Is that his role?
Over. Like, do you know what I mean?
He doesn't need to put Rey Mysterio over, surely.
But he did.
He doesn't need to, though, does he?
But he did.
I don't need to go and get Five Guys after this, but I'm gonna.
Hello,
sorry, whoa. The
hello,
crowd
brother.
Should not be introducing.
Yeah.
Oh, his music hits.
Hello.
Life has popped, and Daniel cuts his.
This is the biggest crowd we've ever had. Three people now, and now he's gone. Back to two. It's like when you do an Instagram live video, and you get three. No, actually, no one's watching. No one cares.
I don't
Why am I doing this?
Heights are three, so.
Oh God.
My best is eight.
How do we feel
and
about?
I believe you.
How the women have been booked over the last two nights? We had the contract signing on Monday with Lacey and Charlotte both involved, and then tonight it was Charlotte came out, cut a bit of a promo, and then we got a great
did
video
she will
package.
Did you see that?
No, I was in the toilet.
Will came in and went, did Charlotte just come out? I went, yeah, and he went, oh, I was in the toilet.
I'm not gonna lie, I was getting a beer.
Sorry, am I the only person that saw?
I said to Alison and Whitlock, I was like, I can hear Charlotte's music. I was like, oh, quick, but yeah, I missed it.
Did it help
but
you flow?
It was a short promo because I was in and out. I was back at my seats, and then there was a good video package, but we got a women's tag match. I mean, the women's wrestling over the last two days.
Yeah, what I will say is I think Lacey Evans looks good, like at the last two nights.
Mate.
I mean, look. Not aesthetically. Not that
oh,
she doesn't.
That's harsh.
I mean, wow.
You literally can't win.
Why are you even commentating?
I've done it. But either way, she looks presentable as a challenger to the title, which she shouldn't have done. She shouldn't have done. A month into her main.
Alex, I got a new dress for my big night out. How do you think I look? Yeah, you look presentable.
That'd be all right.
I can see why you wound your wife.
Yeah.
She's got a big right.
There you go. There you go. I think that would work. But, I mean, look, people could buy that she'll beat Becky, which. Really, a month into a main roster stay is hard to do. And I think they've booked her in a certain way that you could believe it. To me, personally, I think Becky is going to probably win both.
Do we think that? Because originally, I mean, a month ago, when they first announced it was going to be both defences, we were talking about the idea that they want to keep her on one show. They want to take a belt off her. So you've got her going against two heels, wins the first match, but gets the crap kicked out of her afterwards, goes to the second match with the injury. They still protect her. But who, if you had to, if one of those had to be booked with the belt instead of Becky...
Charlotte.
I'm not sure I want either of them.
It would be Charlotte.
I mean, that's how WWE
obvious.
Does it,
it's
but...
Obvious.
There's a lot of obvious things that happen.
Lacey.
Why give it to Lacey?
Lads, curveball. The woman that wins the briefcase...
cashes in.
Yeah. So we think Bayley wins the briefcase.
Bayley?
That's who I'm going with. Oh, Bayley wins the briefcase.
Why did you say he thinks
Charlotte loses. Charlotte wins the main event, and then Bayley comes out and takes the title with this new kind of slightly harder-edged
Don't
Bayley
get me wrong.
Character. That
would be cool.
Oh,
I but I think between Mandy Rose
like it, so.
And Bayley, I think are the
now
two
audience of four
front
pretty pleased with
front runners, sorry. John, what do you think?
What I think is that calling Bayley slightly harder is like comparing a bread roll to a bread roll that's half a day older. That's about as hard as Bayley's got.
That's staunch.
In
right,
that
well,
time.
Well, let's ask the audience. Out of the women's Money in the Bank match, who would you like to see?
Before
Daniel Curtis, who would you
before
like
Will
to see
says, let's ask the audience, and he plays out that we've got like tens of people here.
It's now four.
There's now a staggering four. Five, perhaps, if she's
five.
She's included. Right?
No.
You snorted. You snorted. I saw it.
What?
Right. Well, who do we think is going to win the women's money?
She's still licking off her face. Oh,
Ali's not having it.
Ali's gone away. I like exactly what your man Will was saying. Bayley.
Okay. Mandy Rose.
She's. I actually buy into that purely on the face that I think
it's
Vince likes her.
She does. He does. He does.
You've got no idea.
We're going to get a nice mid-card women's feud between Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. They'll screw each other over.
I think you're right.
That's what was teased.
I'd like Ember to do something. I really would.
That's who I would go with if I was picking who I wanted to win.
I
But whether she does or not, I don't know.
It's hard to distinguish what you want to.
I know who won't win, and that'll be Sasha Banks.
Yeah. So let's turn our attention to SmackDown Live tonight, which was weird. We haven't seen the show yet, obviously, but when I watch it later tonight, I'm not sure it's going to be in the order it was shown today. That was,
and I can understand.
That was like an old school TV taping where they just kind of throw stuff at us and then they're going to edit it into what works for them.
It's worth saying,
later.
In the same way that we said Mysterio and Cesaro was a great, the 34 way between the four SmackDown competitors for the Money in the Bank, Orton, Andrade, Ali.
Here we go.
Wow. Finn.
Well done, buddy.
The Intercontinental Champ.
Fergal Balor. Balor.
That also was a great watch.
And then at the end, with Ricochet coming out and claiming, well, he ran away with the briefcase, didn't he?
Am I the only one who thought there'd be more there?
What?
Like, when Ricochet got off the ladder, I thought, oh, something's going to happen.
He did the great moment, like jumping Gollum up onto the ropes, leapt onto the ladder, and, then just punched him off and took
And I was like, okay. That's that segment done, is it? I was like, oh.
I think when you add, we were talking about this, Paul, when you add then Sami Zayn into that with Ricochet, with those four who have all performed brilliantly, I think with Drew McIntyre, I think it's set up for a brilliant Money in the Bank match. I look to who's going to win it, and I like Andrade. The problem is because he won tonight, they don't put it on him because it's got to be a heel cutscene, and you know
that's
it.
That's a very astute observation.
Randy Orton this minute. But let
Randy Orton.
Wow. Randy Orton.
Boo.
I mean, tonight, I think.
I hope those are the views of the sun.
No. they're my views and my views only. Look, I think he's winning.
If I have to press right now, a women and a men's winner, like who would you bank on?
You've done well, mate. I'm really pleased.
I didn't mean it, but
Who do I want to win, or who do I think's going to win?
This is a prediction, isn't it?
I think.
We're going with a prediction. Okay, I'm taking Bayley's for the women's. I'm standing by my previous comments. I think the way they booked her in that match against Charlotte is the way they're going to go with it. Although she's not appeared on TV since, so maybe that's a terrible shout from me. And I'm going to take... I'm going to back Andrade as
well.
I'm going to back who I want to win.
The winners often come out of left field, to be fair. So
I'm going for Mandy Rose, because you're right, Vince likes her, and Sami Zayn.
I would love
the thought of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn both holding titles and both being a pair of assholes.
Yeah. See, I actually buy into what John just said in terms of Mandy Rose, and I could buy Andrade.
Why are you flashing about buying everything? Have you got a bit of cash?
I wish I did. I mean, I'm two kids deep and struggling. But let me tell you, Andrade is someone that I was saying this earlier in the... When was the last time he put on a bad match?
Yeah, no, Andrade's
been
great.
He puts on a great match all the time. He deserves that spot. I just think Drew's going to get it. I just think Drew is the guy who is primed to be in that position, and more than likely, apart from John,
Drew McIntyre follows two-thirds of the show.
Pro wrestling show.
Did you chat to him outside the toilet?
I'm fuming that John is not lobbying for Baron to win.
Just because he follows me on Twitter doesn't mean I care.
Well,
he followed me because he thought he was going to get some free merchandise from a company I was wearing.
There's the first snort. You heard
I heard a couple of snorts during the show. That's the third one tonight, at least.
Snort count one.
Good.
Does Charlotte and Andrade not work because of everything that's going on?
Are we
going
to get them presented as a power couple? Is that what we think? Becky on one show, Charlotte and Andrade on the other show, and then we're going to get them as the
and
two
Selena
power
Vega
couple.
Is going to just flip off Andrade and get with Aleister Black.
The WWE would not do Becky and Seth if they didn't want to do more of it. They've never ever thought about putting revealing a big couple before, and now all of a sudden that's a thing. Why would they not do Seth and Andrade and Charlotte?
But that's the worst part of the whole thing about if we think she's going to win just one belt, is it makes it even more obvious that she keeps the Raw belt, other than the whole Lacey Evans being still pretty green versus Charlotte, who they're going to give a ninth title to this weekend, most likely.
Have you not thought, though?
She's going to get past her dad before she's 35. It's ridiculous. Wow.
But do you not think that's kind of part of the gimmick, that they want her to get those amount of title reigns because of her dad?
She's got the heat.
I think that's something.
Yes. She's got the heat.
I mean, my co-presenters.
More heat than Usi Hot.
Good heat.
What else do we need to get into? What else happened on SmackDown Live tonight? So we talked about the four-way. We had the Samoan Shield.
Samoan Shield.
Against. I'm so bored of Shane McMahon's in-ring talent.
Everyone on Twitter has been correcting me, saying the bloodline. But it's worth saying that Roman did actually say when we interviewed him here of there could be a Samoan Shield in the future, referencing the Usos. So come on, guys, cut some bit of slack. But you're right, that and...
It says us. He tweeted it from his account, and they've been correcting him.
Will was so anal about that. But we also had Paige with Asuka and Kairi Sane versus Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville, which kind of... I don't know whether that's really signposting, other than the fact that that Kairi Sane... what was even the name that she said that their tag team is?
Yeah.
Do we know?
Can't remember.
Yeah, we were discussing this earlier.
Whatever you do, ask Lars Sullivan. Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, they are primed to take the tag team titles from the Iconics, I guess, but not at the Money in the Bank.
So is it right that the Usos on the Brian on the Rowan match is a pre-show match? Wow.
That's a show stealer on the pre-show.
The crowd literally cannot believe this.
The rafters.
You can't believe
it,
can you, sir?
The crowd has gone miles.
Are you what's a pre-show?
I didn't make it happen. Why are you pointing at me?
No, it's your fault. What? That's a pre-show match?
Yes.
What?
It's on the kickoff show.
No, you're joking.
They announced it.
You have to be joking.
I can't get any more laughs.
If I was going to pick a pre-show match from any of the matches from Sunday, and let's take the Cruiserweight out of it because that will be on the pre-show.
That's a given.
Be honest. Do you know what the other match that needs to go on the pre-show is?
Is it Roman Reigns versus Elias?
It's Roman Reigns versus Elias. That's the least interesting match from a storyline perspective.
But we all know
it's not going to happen, Daniel. We're just suggesting that's what should happen. That's the fun of fantasy booking. I hate audiences. Can we go back to doing this in a studio / lying in bed over Skype?
You had a ballad chub tonight, didn't you, Will?
Yeah, why wouldn't you? He was brilliant.
Well, so hang on, are we all SmackDowned out at this point, or?
I think so. I think we've discussed everything that needs discussing from WWE from this week. And Money in the Bank this weekend,
I need to point something out. The best thing that happened tonight again was they showed the Bray Wyatt promo, which could be absolutely incredible. If they do that properly, the Bray Wyatt whole storyline and how that's been set up and everything like that, that could be absolutely insane. If we weren't in a PG era, I wouldn't be worried about it.
No.
Now we're in a PG era, I'm a little
what do you
bit
think?
Worried about
quick
it.
Quick disclaimer, you are not listening to the podcast 30 minutes ago. You haven't hit rewind. We have just come full circle. This gentleman wasn't here when we discussed this before. But
it's a complete change. And I like that.
What I'm a big fan of is there's two separate conversations going on.
I was
going
to say, I'm hoping the listeners can digest that.
It's very, very
yeah.
confusing.
Put in the left headphone if you want to hear about Sheamus. Right headphone if you want to hear about Kairi Sane.
Oh, we could do like a, what's it called, Bandersnatch, like a podcast version of it where go 5 minutes forwards if you want to hear us talk
By
about
By the way, guys, that's very interesting that Rusev drew to us and Cesaro yesterday all said that the Sheamus retiring rumours aren't. Well,
he posted a very ripped picture today as well.
I think that's very
well.
Interesting. You know, are they just three of them to be just protecting him? I mean, there must be some substance. I feel like, and I'm not disparaging the reports of Sean Ross Sapp or Ryan Satin, but it seems
friend of the show, Ryan Satin.
Yeah, but it seems
friend of Will's DMs.
It
Ryan
does
Satin.
Seem that they all vigorously came to his defence. And why would they if they didn't have to?
Shall we round off the show? Because I think we need to, like, 205 Live's finishing. People are leaving.
Yes.
Let's pack this up. Finish off with a bit of Cesaro. We're going to have, I'm going to do another show out tomorrow because we didn't do it last week, basically because the computers weren't working at work. So we're going to have our show where we're going to hear from the guys from Undisputed Era, Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong. And we're going to also do a little bit of a... We're going to do a Super Strong Style. Day 2 came out today, John, of Super Strong Style 16 on demand. And so we'll do a roundup. We'll do some audio of that and we'll play out the interviews from the weekend.
Absolutely. Darby Allin. What a guy he was.
Should we wait till day three's out and then we'll do that at the start of next
week? Let's do that.
Perfect.
Let's do just
loads
that.
Of great stuff coming. Also, if you want any indie recommendations from the last couple of days, I watched the first day of the Super Juniors this morning. whilst in the cab home from work, I watched it on my phone. And Will Ospreay against Bushi is an absolute barnstormer.
Yeah.
That's Bushi rather than Ibushi, just in case anyone misheard me. But it is a banger.
Ospreay's good.
Oh, there you go. Ian thinks Ospreay's good.
The one crowd member we have left says he's good.
Great.
I love Ospreay.
We are down to one. So, John earlier claimed Will Ospreay's better than Kenny Omega.
I heard that.
Discuss.
Didn't say he was better, I just said I prefer him.
That's not what he said. He said he's better. That's literally the words.
It's true.
How does Will have several beers and still remember everything word for word?
Because I am twice the size of anyone else sat at this table. I think I could have drank at the rate that this guy drank tonight in Almac and be nowhere near the red face that he has reached.
Look, what is with the pink root face, by the way? I got Alan Brazil face on Sunday after taking my kids to a party. And
you got pissed at a children's party?
No, I played football in the morning, which was also sunny, and then I took my kids to a party. And I was diligently applied sun cream to them, but just forgot myself. And then when I came home, I totally forgot I had really bad Irish heritage, and I would burn. So.
Right. Kyle O'Reilly and Roderick Strong podcast coming, and then Super Strong Star podcast coming.
Seamless transition.
WWE stuff coming.
Loads of stuff's coming. And make sure you watch the full interviews, and I'm talking full, they're at least 12 minutes each on our YouTube channel with Trevor Lee from NXT. I don't think he's debuted just yet. And of course, Kyle O'Reilly. If you want to hear it before it hits the podcast, watch Will chat to him upstairs at Ali Pali in a room with a very noisy fridge. On our YouTube channel, Pro Wrestling Show.
At Pro Wrestling Show on Twitter and Instagram. At John Nuz. What is your, I don't actually know what your Twitter handle is.
How long have we known it?
10 years.
That's exactly what it is.
Is it just at John?
I'm on Burning D. Like, that definitely is what it is.
At John Nuz. And also, Al really needs to keep populating his Twitter because he got hacked or whatever he got six months ago.
I only started my Twitter account in February, so I'm still on the rebuild. But at... Alex M _ TalkSport, I believe.
You should probably know if you want people to follow you.
I should know that. I know yours.
Right, well, look, 2K have come through with the drinks. Don't forget, probably some great deals on 2K19 at the moment at the shops.
I actually bought all the downloadable content for 2K the other day because it was half price on the thing. And I was like, oh, I hadn't bought all of the stuff, so I bought it all.
So you've now got at least
20 minutes with some of the downloaded wrestlers and then stopped playing it again.
And that's purely because you're so busy. Yeah, absolutely. What an awesome game. And we can't wait for 2K2020.
Store right now.
So bad.
Thank you for listening, I guess. Al, any final thoughts, words, any bits of wisdom you want to share with the listening public?
Certainly no wisdom, but I think, and we discussed this with Drew, in terms of a go-home show for the UK, I think this was great this week. Like, in terms of the quality of the product, the recent weeks, I feel like we've got good shows in the UK, which is, you know, all I asked for. I was entertained. I don't know about you two, but I feel like heading into Money in the Bank, I'm actually intrigued into a certain amount that's going to happen. But possibly nothing more than Bray Wyatt is really at the top of my list.
Also, if you've been to any of the live events, as WWE like to call them, across the UK, I know they were in Newcastle and Cardiff, other places, let us know. At Pro Wrestle Show, it's always nice to know what goes down at those shows. Sometimes they mix it up, they do a bit of funny stuff. And as I said, the drinks are here now, so you've been listening to the Pro Wrestling Show.
Longest outro of all time. Thank you for listening.
You did answer a question about NXT UK when we were sitting at the round table, but I thought you mentioned Imperium. It was worth noting that because of the European heritage that you've had in that. What do you think about those guys in that group and just the sheer in-ring work, because we seem to have a lot of classic lately. Jordan Devlin, Walter the other week, Mustache Mountain had another great tag match this week. What are your feelings on the show?
I think it's absolutely tremendous, and there's so many, like you just mentioned, there's so many tremendous matches. I think it's, we're living in a, almost like a golden age of wrestling, because there's so much going on. And there's so many good matches that you can easily keep losing track between, you know, WWE UK, NXT UK, NXT Raw and SmackDown, because there's classic matches on Raw and SmackDown all the time, and it's just because there's so much going on that people tend to forget them every now and again. But it's definitely awesome that NXT UK is on the network and you can just pause, sit down, relax, and enjoy the show.
Talking about yourself and Cesaro, you know, Superstar Shake-Up, when you came to Raw, people just naturally assumed that it would be the end of the bar. Now it seems with the wild card rule that that's maybe not the case.
Yeah.
But what was said to you at that point? Because presumably we didn't have the wild card rule foreshadowing then. So at the actual Superstar Shake-Up, how was it kind of broken to you?
I was traded after the Superstar Shake-Up.
Yeah, the week, the following week.
So I actually thought that the bar may have not been broken up, you know, you never know. And then all of a sudden I get like a message, it's like, hey, your travel changed. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm a Raw guy now, so, you know. But that's the thing in WWE, and I think that's also a lesson in life, that enjoy the moment while you're in it. Because if you're always focused on what's next, oh man, this was so good in the past, you tend to forget about the moment. And that's why me and James just had so much fun and we enjoyed being in the moment. Mm-hmm. So then like you cannot worry about what's going to happen, because when it happens you just go with it.
And the genesis of us, you know, we know we're at the best of seven, how the bar came to be, but it, you know, I remember you saying at the time that Mick Foley had a lot to do with that, because he's in his role as general manager, but did he actually have a big role behind the scenes? Did he lobby for you guys to be
for all I know, yes, he was. It was his idea, for all I know, to put us together. So, because he saw something in that, that's why he was lobbying for the Best of Seven series, and then to make us a team. So, thank you, Mick.
I guess finally, you know, on the way you guys started, wasn't it kind of refreshing that you didn't have to turn on each other for this, you know, split and stuff?
That's what I was. I mentioned that earlier. It's great because it was like with the brand split, it was a clean split. You can always go back to it.
Mm. I totally agree with you in that sense, that it will be like something down the road. It will be you two link up to take on whoever. Kind of in the same way the Shield did, and you know, they're two guys you had your best matches with. In my opinion.
Yeah,
the SummerSlam match.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah, we had. It was like a 6-7 months period where we just fought the Shield all over in all kinds of variation. You know, with teaming with Braun Strowman, teaming with Samoa Joe, which we called the Jar. definitely. You know, we will hopefully link up like the Shield did many times there towards the end.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.